Welcome to our podcast for week four. We are super excited to have two very special guests today who are going to help us to talk about the theme of this week, which is we are ready. How do we put those final touches and how do we reconnect with our enthusiasm so we can get ready for the fall semester and for this new and very unique fall semester that lays ahead of us. So the guests that we have today are Bethany Smith, who is the Associate Director of Instructional Technology Training at Delta, and Carlos Goller, who's an Associate Teaching Professor in the Department of Biological Sciences. And they're not just random guests. I asked them to join me today because they're two of the most inspirational people that I know, and I wanna get everybody inspired to go with the new academic year. So I'm gonna start by asking them, how do you kick off the new academic year?
So this is Bethany. And for me, kicking off the academic year, I love that week before campus starts, you know, where it's that excitement and the enthusiasm and students are starting to move in and do things. And at Delta, we do summer shorts. And our summer shorts program is really all about getting faculty excited and ready to teach for that fall semester. And I kind of like to think of summer shorts as having two parts. The first part is where we invite faculty to talk about things that have worked, maybe some new tools that they've used. I think Carlos is going to talk about Panopto this year and some of the different things that he's played with over the summer. But it's a really good way to get inspired by what's happening at NC State. And then the second part of summer shorts is really what we call our boot camp, which is sometimes I just need to know, what do I need to know to get started next week, right? Like there are some really specific things to get started, especially if I'm a new faculty member. I don't want to be overwhelmed with all these other things. I kind of want to be boots on the ground. And I like to think that we look at both needs, that even though I'm totally excited, I love hearing what people are doing and how they're trying these sorts of new things. Sometimes people just need to know how to create a Moodle space, and that you need to figure out what it is that you need to be able to get started and get ready to go. And we've got lots of different ways that we can help you and inspire you to do that.
Awesome. This is Carlos Goller, and I love during the summer, looking at webinars or learning from peers and listening to podcasts has been a really great way to relax and at the same time learn about what other faculty members are doing and instructors are doing across the country. There are lots of great podcasts, T for Teaching, Teaching in Higher Ed, and I always end up writing down a couple of great websites or resources. And now with the Office of Faculty Development providing access to the Lilly Conference online, it has been fantastic to be able to go back and look at those recordings and get some ideas. But at the same time, as Bethany mentions, I have to rein myself in and think about, okay, what do I need to teach the courses in the fall? And what templates can I take advantage of, or what quick start guides can I use myself or share with students if I want to use Panopto, or if we want to include this new way of showing quizzes on Moodle, for example.
Right. I think, Carlos, one thing I would say, you know, just pick one thing, pick something cool that you want to try out, that you want to do, that you want to, you know, don't overwhelm yourself with some of those things. But, you know, what's something that you have a challenge with and you want to try to find something that might help address that?
And that's an excellent point. You may hear lots of exciting things that people are doing, and they may be nifty tools or nifty assignments. And we all have to step back and think about what's our objective for that piece of interaction with students or engagement with students and content, and what's the best approach. Maybe we already have one and we just have to learn how to use it or implement it better, or learn from our colleagues.
Those are all wonderful resources, and we will make sure to put some links so that everybody can get in touch with the things that have been mentioned, Summer Shores, the Lily Conference, all of the resources that we offer here. So maybe this is the time when I confess to you guys that I cannot start a new semester without getting some new office supplies, because that's what gets me going. So I was wondering if you want to tell me, what are the things that you need, those must-haves that you need to have to get ready for a new semester? Who wants to take that one?
Oh, you can't really see it on the screen, but I'm holding up a stack of maybe 20 different Post-its. I need my Post-its. And when we were in the office, it's a fantastic way to write down notes and organize myself. And I actually use them to move around ideas and schedule a semester and assignments or opportunities with students. I also have after reading the Agile faculty book as part of an OFD reading circle, I started doing my whiteboard as an Agile board, and I have tasks. And before every semester, I really sit down literally on the floor with a marker and start thinking about what are my major projects, what are the classes I'm teaching, and what's my backlog, what is something I have to get done before the semester starts, and start prioritizing.
I'm right there with you, Carlos. Like at the beginning of the year, I like to think about, all right, so what are some of the things that we want to accomplish this year? What are some of our big goals? How do we, that could be you and your team, that could be you individually, you know, how do you want to convey those goals? You know, I love how Carlos talked about a backlog, right? Like there's always sometimes these projects we put to the side that we never get to. Is this the semester I'm going to get to it? And then making sure that that's all on my calendar, that I live and die by the multiple calendars that I have, and really thinking about how do I organize that? And you know, if I'm working or teaching, you know, making sure that that even if it's not taking up space or a time on my calendar, it's there as reminders of when things have to happen or when things are going to be. And I think that's always something it reminds me of how I used to get a planner at the beginning of the semester when I would get started. And I don't use paper that much anymore for that, although I know a lot of our students still do. But I like that digital aspect of starting afresh with a new slate and really having that opportunity to kind of think and move those things around.
Awesome. And let me ask you a question to wrap this up that might be a little bit outside of the realm of your, you know, professional responsibilities. Where do you find inspiration that is not related to work? And does that inspiration make its way back into your work? Let's take that one.
I'll go first on this one because I made Carlos go first last time. So I get inspired by a lot of things. I really get inspired by arts and crafts and the movements that are behind those. I like to make things, so I like to tinker and do those sorts of different things. But it's funny, when you said inspiration, it reminded me that so much of my inspiration actually comes from social media. It just happens to be that I follow people that make things, right? And so I really love being inspired by my Instagram or my Twitter feeds that really focus on, oh, somebody made this quilt, somebody did this. You know, right now I got really inspired. My quilt group had a famous speaker come last weekend. She talked about transparency quilts. And I took this great picture hiking this summer about looking up with leaves overlapping. And she talked about leaves overlapping for transparency quilts and how you could choose. And I'm like, that's my next project. I need a good Zoom background. I need to make a quilt behind me. And that's, you know, that's what I'm going to do. And so for me, I like Carlos mentioned, I love getting inspired by others, by seeing what other people do. And I really appreciate that people share that in a medium that I might not you know, get a chance to see. And then, and that really has carried over into my daily life, because I do use social media as a way to inspire me for my job, right? To see what people are doing, to see how they're going through and trying new things. And I love it when people are very transparent about what works and what doesn't work. But sharing the products of what those are, that's really helpful for me.
Carlos?
For me, a little different, but some similarities. I am really bad at social media. I make people laugh in my family because I log in, I sign up for a whole bunch of things, and I log out maybe once every 6 months, or I like something. I'm figuring out Twitter slowly. But again, my inspiration is mostly podcasts and physical books. And lately, it has been watching what our kids are exposed to and some of the games they play and some of the educational technology. Bethany knows I love the ed tech part. And the K through 12 and pre-K teachers do some fantastic stuff, and it's inspiring. They've got it together. And I come from a family with some teachers in Mexico, and it's been fun to be able to learn a little bit about what they do and learn about what teachers here are doing, especially during remote teaching and remote learning with, I cannot believe it, with 20 kindergarteners in a Zoom room and maintaining interest and getting them to be interactive and time on task, and then engaging them in a way that they will, in the case of our daughter, she will pull up the laptop and play games that are learning games. And I'm thinking, well, that's the motivation I want. And how can I do that? And I don't bake. I have a fun story about baking for another day that resulted in a smoke detector going off and me winning an Aztec soup, winning a cooking challenge with an Aztec soup, a Mexican soup. But cooking is, I'm still working on that too. But I love web pages, and now learning about recording audio and podcasts. And for me, that's a distraction. And I may complain about it, but I love being able to design something and in the digital realm. And I never thought that would be me, but from a website to maybe a Moodle activity or a H5P activity, it's really fun.
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. All of those things inspire me, and watching you guys inspires me as well. So thank you so much for joining us today. That is all the time we have. All the links that I can provide to support the things that have been discussed here will be available. And thank you, everybody, for joining us. This is our last week of Unplugged. We're going to miss you so much, but there's going to be discussion on Twitter. So let us know what you think. Thank you.